This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson. Kwithlik musher Michael Larson has racked up yet another victory in his second year racing dogs, winning the Kuskokwim 300-sponsored 50-miler race on Saturday in a little over 3.5 hours. Larson held onto a narrow lead throughout the race, reaching the turnaround point on the Gweek River just 2 minutes ahead of Akiak's Mike Williams Jr., who crossed the finish line in Bethel 5 minutes after Larson to take second. Kwithlik Kennels dominated Saturday's race, with Kwithlik mushers Herman Phillip, Jim George, and Louis Pavla rounding out the top five, respectively. The race is normally billed as the February 50 doubles, providing an opportunity for both young and old to pair up on either one or two sleds. This year, the race was postponed to March and then shifted to a single musher race out of concerns over children being exposed to extreme wind chills. The win for Larson brings Kwithlik's Alexi Racing Kennel within 3 points of Williams Racing Kennel in the five-race Delta Championship Series. Larson has had a season to remember, coming off a first-place finish in the Akiak Dash, a second-place finish in the Bogus Creek 150, and a first-place victory in the three-day sprint race recently held by Bethel Sprint Mushers Club. Tribal members of Kipnuk have voted overwhelmingly to relocate their community after devastation caused by the remnants of Typhoon Halong, according to the results released by the tribe on Friday evening. KYUK's Evan Erickson has more.
More than 92% of adult tribal members that the tribe was able to contact by phone in recent weeks voted to relocate. Nearly all of the tribal members living in Kipnuk at the time of the storm remained displaced in Anchorage, Bethel, and in other communities. The tribe asked members to vote on which of two potential relocation sites they preferred. Both sites lie around 13 miles to the northwest of Kipnuk, roughly halfway between the village and the community of Chifornik, near the site of a historical settlement called Chiching. Around two-thirds of tribal members that were contacted voted in favor of an option further inland, currently owned by Chifornik's Village Corporation. The remainder voted for a site located roughly a mile from the Bering Sea coast, owned by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. According to Tribal Environmental Coordinator Raina Paul, both sites range in elevation from 40 feet to 150 feet above sea level. Kipnuk sits at a little more than 10 feet above sea level. Paul said the community is currently in discussions with leaders in Chifornik about relocation possibilities. Reached by phone on Saturday, Kipnuk Tribal President Daniel Paul said the tribe is in the process of grieving recent deaths in the community and will provide updates about the next steps when the time is right.
Out of all respect for the native village of Kipnuk and our tribal members, we'll move forward by and by, so it's going to be a long process.
Around 700 people were living in Kipnuk before the near-total evacuation of the community after the October 2025 storm. The tribe's total membership, which includes many not living in Kipnuk at the time of the disaster, is nearly twice that. That worked out to 799 eligible adult tribal members on the voting rolls. The tribe was ultimately able to reach 662 members by phone to record their votes on the question of relocation. In Bethel, I'm Evan Erickson.
The Lower Kuskokwim community of Akiak has made an emergency request to tribal and state officials for fuel to keep its municipal power plant running as its local supplies dwindle. In a letter sent last week to the Association of Village Council Presidents and other tribal and state entities, the city of Akiak requested 30,000 gallons of fuel to avoid a loss of, quote, essential power services. According to the letter, the city's power plant only has around 2,000 gallons of fuel remaining. That's far short of what the community will need to get by until the first fuel barges of the season arrive on the Lower Kuskokwim River in early June. The request also references recent leadership changes in the city's administration. It says, quote, "The current fuel shortage is a direct result of past administrative failures." Mayor Olinka Jones said on Friday that the city is looking for any help it can find in obtaining the fuel. Fuel can currently be delivered by truck using the Kuskokwim River Ice Road. Jones says city officials believe Akiak could be less than a week away from running out of fuel. Without municipal power, residents would need to rely on backup generators. Last fall, Akiak was without power for roughly 6 weeks due to mechanical issues at the power plant. Around 25,000 Alaskans lost all or part of their health insurance subsidies in 2026 due to the One Big Beautiful Act. That left many with skyrocketing health insurance costs, and enrollments in healthcare.gov declined by about 10%. Others are likely to lose Medicaid in the coming years due to new work requirements. So Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra dug into options for getting affordable health care without insurance.
Having thousands more uninsured Alaskans can spell financial disaster for individuals, families, and the state. One main reason is that when people are uninsured, they tend not to get care until it's a true emergency. Jared Kosin, who heads the Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association, says people often end up in the ER.
I mean, that's the most expensive place to get healthcare in the entire healthcare system.
ERs have to provide medical care even if people can't pay their bills, and that drives up healthcare costs for everyone. So I wanted to find out what kinds of options are available to Alaskans without insurance, especially for preventative care that could prevent high bills, heartache, and trips to the ER. Experts like Kosin were hesitant to even talk about non-insurance options. He wants to find more ways Alaskans can be covered. But he suggested that if people are stressed out about accessing care, they can reach out to their provider.
Ask them directly if they have any suggestions and see if they can come up with anything. And I know in the hospitals, we have charity care programs.
He says some doctor's offices also have charity programs. And some clinics offer free or sliding scale care. There are four other health insurance alternatives accessible for most Alaskans, some of which are newly allowed in the state. The first are healthcare sharing ministries. They're faith-based organizations where members share healthcare costs. But as the Alaska Division of Insurance points out on their website, these organizations don't have to follow health insurance regulations. And there's no legal requirement for them to cover health costs for members. The second option is memberships with primary care provider clinics.
It covers their annual exams that they have, all their annual lab work, their annual flu shot, pneumonia vaccines, those kind of things that people need.
That's Cindy Alkire at Arete Family Care in Anchorage, which offers a direct primary care membership.
And then we also allow three other visits per year, sick visits for things that are going on or chronic conditions.
The plans are affordable compared to most health insurance. For adults under 45, it's $125 a month, and it's $90 a month for kits, including childhood vaccines. There are several clinics in Alaska offering memberships like this, but the plans don't cover things like x-rays, hospital visits, or some expensive medications. The third option is health discount plans. You may have heard of GoodRx, which is a free prescription discount plan, but there are also paid discount plans for dental care and vision, hearing aids, lab work, and less commonly, healthcare. They're nothing like health insurance, but they can make it cheaper to pay out of pocket. And if the worst happens, there's a fourth option. It's a safety net program that can get people free care for complex medical needs. Melinda Freeman is executive director of Anchorage Project Access.
We provide specialty medical, dental, and mental health care that's provided for people who are unable to access care, this type of care, through their primary care doctors.
It's free and includes complex care like cancer treatment or surgeries. It's available to uninsured people or those awaiting enrollment for Medicaid. But it requires treatment in Anchorage and a healthcare provider referral. Although people can refer themselves for dental care and mental health care programs. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
You can find links to the programs mentioned and more details on the web version of this story at alaskapublic.org. This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Gnomchit coming up.